we gather this Sunday morning in the season of Easter to celebrate the risen Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jill, for our prelude this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this day, and thank you for joining us for worship on this final Sunday in April. We are in the season of Easter, and I pray that the Spirit of the risen Lord continues to inspire you this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. You can fill out a visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching online this morning on Facebook Live, thank you. Welcome to worship online for First Baptist Elon. A reminder that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for our time of worship this day. If you are a first-time viewer online this morning, I encourage you to send me an email. Let me follow up with you this week and share what First Baptist Church's Elon is all about. For those that are gathered here and those that are watching online, I do want to remind you that this afternoon, we do have our worship service at Blakey Hall this afternoon at 1:30 p.m. So anybody that would like to join us for that time of worship on the second floor of the main building, it is an exciting time of worship. So come join us today at 1:30. All are invited to come. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will start our new adult Bible study, and I'll be sharing more details about that a little bit later in the worship service. We are in the midst of wrapping up our April missions collections. Reminder that we have been collecting bingo prizes and birthday supplies for our ministry at Golden Year Senior Center. Thank you for all those that have already brought items for those and dropped those in the Communication Center and upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. But it's not too late. If you still have items to bring for Golden Years, you can bring those in this week. And to be quite honest with you, you can bring those all year long, because this is a ministry that we participate in the entire year. So at any time, if you want to bring items for Golden Years, just drop them off at the church, and we'll make sure we get those to the area that Golden Years collects their items. The second thing that we're collecting right now, and that'll be wrapping up in just a few weeks, is the items for the Elon Reading Day goodie bags that we'll be spreading to our Elon College students as they prepare for exams. So Reading Day is coming up the second week in May, and so the deadline to drop off items for the reading bags is Tuesday, May 6th. And many of you have already brought items for that, but there is still some more time. So if you have items to drop off, please bring them this next week, and definitely by the week after next, we need those by that Tuesday, so we have time to assemble those gift bags and then distribute them. Our goal is to put together 70 bags, and that's a lot of snack items. So if you have that opportunity, if you're going to the grocery store this week, pick up a few items that can be distributed in those bags and drop them off for us, so we can make sure we get all those bags assembled. Last but not least, we are transitioning into May this coming week. In the May in-gathering, you'll notice details in your bulletin about that. You'll also see that in your newsletter. We'll be collecting items for Allied Church's Joe's Diner. They're doing a Season Everything with Love collection. There's details about the specific things they're collecting for Joe's Diner. I won't go into detail about that this morning, but they're listed on your bulletin today. They're also listed in your May newsletter. I do also want to remind our ministry teams today that next Sunday we will be meeting at 4 o'clock, so please make sure you're able to attend next Sunday at 4. If you cannot attend, make sure somebody from your ministry team can attend that meeting. Finally, this morning, I want to recognize our Human Resources Chair, Leslie Cornell, who has a special presentation that she wants to provide, come and talk about and present this morning.
I'm not a big believer in coincidence. I really am not. I think God has a hand in everything we do. We had no idea towards the end of last year that Bert was going to decide she had to have knee surgery. But I think God did. Then, I'm sorry, Gina, is that right?
Gina.
Gina with Abundant Life upstairs decided she wanted somebody to come play Christmas carols for the people that participate in that program. So she asked Jill.
Come here, Jill. I said yes to Gina.
She said yes to me. But God knew that was working. Gay just happened to go upstairs that day to do her little daily visit with the Abundant Life folks. Heard Jill play. Thought, we need a pianist. Wasn't planned, but God knew it. You can come on over here. I'm not going to bite you. So long story short, Jill agreed to do something she wasn't comfortable with, but she did it anyway, which was such a blessing to us. It was a God thing. So we don't want you to leave here empty-handed. We want you to leave knowing how much you are adored by us. We appreciate you. We hope that when you wear this, it's a little something to wear, you'll think of us. Know the door's open. Come back anytime you want to. Bert, you'd love to have Sunday off once in a while, wouldn't you? We would love to have you come join us, even if it's just to warm a pew with us. Okay. Thank
just
you.
Just don't leave, right?
Just, we would love you just to stay. But that's thank you.
And I echo what Leslie said, it's a God thing. Jill, it has been a blessing to have you part of our worship team over the last couple weeks. And we are excited to have Bert back, but God had a plan in the midst of it. And we're excited, Bert, that to see you the last couple weeks and that you are doing well. But Jill, it's kind of a bittersweet to say goodbye over here. We know we'll see you upstairs each week with Abundant Life. But as I have echoed to you many times before, we hope you'll join us on Sundays when you can't, when you can do that. But thank you. Thank you on behalf of the church. So, again, we gather here today to lift up praise, to see how God is going to work in the midst, because he is constantly working, and he's working this day, in this moment, in this hour. So let's lift praise to the risen Lord this morning.
Good morning. I'm going to stand in for Gay this morning. Please be in prayer for their family as she and Jerry are moving their two kids into their new house. And just be in prayer for the whole family that everything goes smoothly and they have a great time. Will you stand and join with me as we sing one of my favorite hymns, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
I was.
Thank you, Mabee Sue.
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 150. Listen to these words. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that is why we're here this day. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus Christ, on the second Sunday of Easter, the light of Your love shines on. Your love and Your light has come into the world, and neither darkness nor evil nor even death itself could overcome it. And we, like Mary Magdalene, like Thomas, like the other disciples who have been there with You through Holy Week and the first Easter morning, have been made witnesses to the resurrection story, wondering, bewildered, hoping, rejoicing, and sometimes doubting. It is not always easy to believe with our minds and trust with our hearts. Loving Christ, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold the work of Your redemption. Open our minds and our hearts to receive You, Lord, Your resurrection glory, Your light everlasting. May this time of worship, reflection, and celebration be a worthy response to Your love and Your sacrifice for us. Together we pray as You, our risen Lord, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you stand and join me as we sing of our God's mighty power? Hymn number 49.
This morning for our ministry highlight, I want to cover two ministry opportunities coming up for our church family in the coming weeks. First, Our new adult Bible study, Reckless Love, is a six-week video study by Pastor Tom Berlin, and that will begin actually this afternoon at 4 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. I hope you'll join me this afternoon as we begin our look at what Jesus said was the most important piece in the law, which was to love the Lord and to love others. Now, how do these two commands interplay as we seek to share the love of Christ with others? Over these six sessions, Tom Berlin is going to challenge our minds and, most importantly, our actions as we are called to love recklessly with Christ's love. So in our opening session this afternoon, we'll start at the beginning. How we are all challenged to begin with love. And most everybody's going to say, oh, that's kind of easy. But is it really? Do we do that well? And that's what he's going to challenge us this afternoon at 4 o'clock. If you cannot join us in person, obviously at 4 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall, it will be streamed on Facebook Live, so you can join us online at 4 o'clock, or you can join us at any time later when it's saved on our Facebook page, so you can go there as well. Of course, there will be study guides that are posted on our website at www.fbc-elon.org. So session one is already up on the website. The second ministry I want to highlight is the senior adults are planning an upcoming fun and fellowship trip to the Spring Valley Restaurant in Greensboro, followed by a stop at Hammerick's. Now, participants will enjoy breakfast at the restaurant, get enough energy to tackle the latest sales at that wonderful place of shopping. I am so ashamed I won't be able to go on that trip. That was when I passed the senior adult ministry on to Gay, I said, Gay, you need to take them to Hammerick's now. And I said, anyway, but it'll be a fun trip. They always have a good trip on this. And anybody's welcome to go. The breakfast will be great. They're going on Tuesday, May 6th. They'll be leaving the church at 8:30, I think it is, 8:30 on that Tuesday, going to breakfast and then going to Hammerick's afterwards. If you have not signed up, make sure you sign up in the church foyer or in the Sunday school classes. And if I think the deadline to sign up is next Sunday. She needs to know by next Sunday who's planning on going. So again, it would be a fun trip. There are many other ministries coming up in the month of May that we are going to try to mention, but there are a lot of things going on in May that we may not have an opportunity to mention in our ministry highlight. So I really want to encourage you to look at the May newsletter that came out this past week. There's lots of things there, and you'll be hearing more about a couple of those things in worship, but I encourage you to read your newsletter because there's a lot of information there. Now at this time, I want to call on Deacon Susan Reinheimer for our offertory prayer.
Will you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship together today as a church family on this beautiful spring day. We lift up to you and pray today for all the people on our prayer list. Please reach out with your healing, peace, and comfort for each person and situation in the way that you know best. We pray also today that you show each of us how to love our neighbors and share the good news of your death and resurrection in a way that will bring more people to know your love and grace. Help us to be an example of your love to others and not a hindrance. Now please bless our offerings and help us to use them in the best way to bring glory to you. We thank you for all we have and thank you for your son's sacrifice for us. In his precious name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. I do want to extend a thank you to Sally Farnham, who's filling in for Gay today. And as most of you know, and if you did not know, Gay will be having surgery in less than 2 weeks from today. And she will be out for a couple Sundays, and as she recovers on, she's having surgery on her foot. And we have had some faithful choir members who have stepped up and are going to be filling in each Sunday while she's unable to be here. And so in advance, I'm going to thank those who have stepped up and are willing to fill in and leading on those Sundays. But I also say that, be in prayer for Gay as she has her surgery, a much-needed surgery. And I pray for you to, I ask you that you pray for her to be patient. I don't have to say much more than that because you understand, Gay, as soon as she gets out of recovery, she's going to want to rush back over here. And we want her to take her time to recover. And so be in prayer for her during that time. And we pray that the surgery goes well. And know that that while she is gone, we will miss her, but she will be back shortly, soon afterwards, as long as we can keep the doors locked on her. So anyway, if you would, let's once again go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we prepare to encounter His Word this day. Let's pray. Risen Christ, our eternal Savior, like the disciples, we are gathered together the week after Easter, wondering whether it is true, marveling at the possibility and daring to hope. Like the disciples, we are sometimes afraid, sometimes full of doubt. But in your extravagant generosity, your boundless love, you appear to us in our fear and love us in our doubts and grant us the oceans of your peace. Thank you for loving us as we are. Teach us not to hide from our doubt, but to recognize it is a door to mystery and to deeper faith. After all, the disciples' fear became a visitation as they saw you among them risen and triumphant. Thomas's doubt became a moment of revelation as he saw and touched you and finally believed. This morning, we pray for the many men and women in our society who have no faith at all. There are so many who live without hope, without knowledge of your resurrection, without your light in their lives. Grant us the courage to live as witnesses to your resurrection. Risen Christ, be light in our world. We pray for those in our congregation this morning who find it difficult to believe. Lord knows that they are not alone, but in the best of company, even Christ's own disciples struggled to believe all that they had seen and that they had heard. Loving Christ, it is in your presence that removes all fear and erases all doubts. So come and grant those doubting in our midst your presence and peace this day. And grant to all of us, living Lord Christ, renewed faith, great courage, and your boundless peace on this, another Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon on this Easter Sunday morning. And yes, you heard me right. As the Christian church, we are in what is called the season of Easter. It is not just a one-day event. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is not just one day. It is a season. It is a season oftentimes the Christian church identifies directly after Easter, directly after Resurrection Sunday. But to be quite honest, in fact, celebrating the risen Lord should be a 365-day celebration. So I hope you celebrate it every day. Amen? Amen. So here we are, 1 week after Resurrection Sunday. How was this week for you? How was this past week for you? How are you doing today? 1 week after the celebration of the resurrection. Is the excitement of the resurrection still bubbling up inside of you? Or has it begun to fade a little bit? Has it vanished altogether?
And I ask these questions this morning because in our scripture focus this morning, we're going to find the disciples exactly where we are today, approximately 1 week after the resurrection. And as we seek to deal fully with how we feel, let us also begin to understand how these disciples of Christ are doing 1 week later. And that's why the sermon title this morning is titled, 1 Week Later, Are We Back to Normal? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31 this morning. This is picking up exactly where we left off our story last Sunday morning on Resurrection Sunday in the fourth Gospel. Remember, we read the story. We saw the encounter of Mary Magdalene at the tomb. We talked about why she was weeping. And Jesus said, I'm not done yet. Let go of me. And then he disappeared and Mary Magdalene went back to the disciples to proclaim that she has seen the risen Lord. And then this is the story that picks up from there. Reading John 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in the hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Our text of John gives us a quick glimpse back to Easter and the splendid revelation of God's glory in Christ's resurrection. The disciples are huddled in fear behind a locked door when Jesus appears to them. And when he does, he not only reveals the resurrection, but he also breathes an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. Now, for some reason, and we don't know why, and there's been lots of speculation, for some reason Thomas was absent from the disciples when that happened. He did not get to see Jesus that night. Now, the other disciples, as soon as Thomas probably shows up, are sharing the wonderful news with him, are telling them what they saw. We have seen the Lord. Now, we've heard that quote before, right? Mary Magdalene just said that just a few days before. They were echoing the same testimony that Mary Magdalene had echoed that resurrection Sunday. But what proof do the disciples bring to Thomas? It's only their words. That's all they have, is only their words. Now, John, earlier in the gospel, had already described Thomas as a courageous pessimist. How many want that kind of identification for you? Courageous pessimist. Anybody want that on their own tombstone? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, not exactly something that you want. But he's also an honest skeptic. And let's face it, a lot of us can identify with Thomas. We may not like to, but we're there. So it is not surprising that his response to the disciples is, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Now this catches us up to the heart of what today's message is all about. 1 week after Easter, the very same room where Jesus appeared before, 10 disciples sit in excitement. Now it's 10 disciples because you got to remember there were the 10 disciples minus Thomas, who wasn't there, and Judas was not there. So everybody says it was the 12. No, it was 10 minus Thomas, and now Thomas is with them. So they're in the same room there sitting in excitement. However, don't you find it a little humorous that they are still sitting behind locked doors? Even after Jesus had appeared to the disciples, they're still sitting behind locked doors. Don't you think that appearance would have been a little bit freeing for them? But it wasn't. Anyway, I imagine them sitting in excitement still, talking about that appearance, and Thomas, who's probably sitting there like this. This is how I imagine it. Pull up your typical... Yep, sure. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, that didn't happen. He's probably sitting over there in the corner muttering under his breath the entire time. Sure you did. Glad I wasn't there for that, because who knows what they ate that night. It must have got to all of them. You got to imagine Thomas was there thinking, this can't happen. This couldn't have happened. So the stage has been set. 10 disciples who know and are waiting anxiously, and one disciple who doubts, who only has the words of the other disciples to go by. He doubts. Now, I want to pull back just for a moment here. You have heard me preach before about Thomas. I think he gets a bad rap. I think Thomas gets a bad rap because anytime anybody brings up Thomas, what is usually ahead of Thomas's name? Doubting. That's such a bad connection with an individual who, yes, he doubted, but we can't blame him for doubting. But it's just not fair. It's easy to make him into a straw man and blow him over with the one verse, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Silly Thomas. Yay, modern Christians. Sermon done, pat yourselves on the back, and we can leave now, because we would not have done that. We never would have doubted, right? 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 We all would have been sitting with the 10, right? Uh-huh. Not Thomas, right? I think those chairs around Thomas would have been filled too. To be quite honest, I think I may have been sitting beside Thomas and saying, I don't believe it either. And yet, if every one of us was honest with ourselves, we would see that Thomas is not the loneliest Christian ever. I would venture a guess that every one of us at some point has walked side by side with Thomas in a state of doubt. It is our very nature to doubt what we cannot see. It might as well be us sitting there with the other 11, arms crossed, ankles crossed, and brow furrowed. Part of human nature reminds me of a story I once heard of a man who was out on a splendid nature walk next to some beautiful cliffs and caverns. The walk, however, quickly turned a little less splendid when the man will end up walking too close to the edge of a cliff, and he found himself tumbling down one of its sides. Luckily, he managed to grab hold of a very small tree that was growing out of the side of the cliff. Unluckily, it was too high, too steep for him to climb up, and it was too high for him to fall or jump down and to be safe. And he knew in that moment he was in trouble. He knew he was likely the only person around for miles. And as he held there, he decided he had nothing else to lose but beginning to shout, help! Is anybody out there? Help! Is anybody out there? Can you help me? And after a short while of holding onto that tree, he heard a response. I'm here. This is God. Let go of the branch and I will catch you. The man contemplated this and he responded, God, don't you have a rope or a ladder? God replied, put your faith in me, let go of the branch, and I will catch you. Man contemplated yet again, and after a long pause, he shouted, is anyone else out there? Believing without seeing, Thomas doubted. Yes, and yet, which of us could claim to throw the first stone at him? Which of us has never had the smallest bit of doubt? Perhaps we've looked to the trouble of the world, the pain, the injustice, the senseless violence, and have thought to ourselves, how can a good God let bad things happen? Perhaps we've been challenged by competing beliefs of different religions. Or perhaps we're just like Thomas and just struggle to believe the words of others, wishing we could have firsthand knowledge for ourselves. Luckily for Thomas, and for each of us, that is not the end of this story. That's not the end of this text. Thomas is not left sitting there with his arms crossed and his legs crossed and with that frowned, with his burrowed frown. And just the text now turns him to with a wonderful message of grace. Jesus appears in the room with all the disciples, and he directly addresses Thomas. Jesus knew Thomas doubted. Jesus knew he had been excluded from the special revelation the night he appeared to the other disciples. Jesus even knew that whole last week what it must have been like for Thomas. And I think that's something we forget in this story. We remember that Jesus appeared to the disciples the first time and Thomas wasn't there. And we remember that Jesus then appeared again Thomas there with the other disciples, but we forget that Jesus was with Thomas the entire time in between. Thomas was going through a lot. He was emotional. He was doubting. He had a swirl of everything going through his mind, but he was not alone because God was there with him, and Jesus knew it. So when he appeared, the first person he talked to was the individual who was going through the most. Ponder that for a moment. The only disciple left out. The only disciple with nothing but words to go by. The one disciple most likely like us today. And Thomas, the one left out, spent the entire week wrestling alone with his doubts. But he wasn't alone. Jesus does not lecture him. Jesus does not chastise him. Jesus does not discipline him for his doubts. Instead, Jesus wishes all of them, and I can imagine as he says this, he looks at Thomas and he gives him peace. Peace. And in his mercy, he gave Thomas that which he needed to move beyond his doubt. That's powerful. Jesus met Thomas where he was that day. How many times does Jesus meet us where we are? Jesus met Mary Magdalene where she was as she was weeping beside the tomb. Jesus met the disciples where they were huddled in fear in that upper room. Jesus met Thomas in his stage of doubt with peace. In this moment, the truly marvelous thing about this text occurs. It is as this moment that something completely new happens in the Gospel of John. All throughout the fourth Gospel, all throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is described as Lord. It's described by his disciples, by Mary Magdalene, by all his followers. They describe Jesus as Lord. But now, and only now, Thomas proclaims this. My Lord and my God. He gets it. He gets it. And I think in this moment, Thomas gets it more so than any of the other disciples in that room. He realizes who Jesus is, what he's done, and how it is going to change his life forever. Because now Jesus is not just Lord. Now Jesus is God. The only time in the fourth gospel. Not only does he get it, he gets it in a deeper and much more profound way. Jesus is not only Lord, he's become the God that Thomas was needing and the God that he was looking for. In closing this morning, like Thomas, there are times in our lives that we will be challenged. There are times that we will doubt. The very best news of all is that God does not let us sit forever, arms crossed, ankles crossed, and brow furrowed all the time. In our time of doubt, we will search, we will examine, we will question, and we too can gain a stronger and deeper understanding of faith of God and of our relationship with Him when we are there. 1 week after Resurrection Sunday, one short week, in that crowded little room, the door locked, sitting with the disciples, my question to you is this: where do you sit? Where are you sitting in that room? Do you sit with Thomas? Not Thomas as the doubter, but Thomas as the one seeking Christ. Are you sitting with him? Or do you sit with the other disciples still excited and buzzing about the resurrection? Or perhaps in that little room, you're sitting on your own, neither excited, neither seeking God, just not sure where to turn. Wherever you are sitting today, I encourage you to look to Thomas, not as a bad example to be avoided, but rather as a representative in that room. As ones who have had other people's words spoken to them, but not that firsthand experience. Jesus stands before us today, just like he stood before Thomas, inviting us to see the wounds and to touch his side so that we may know the truth and stand again with Thomas and echo the same words that he did on that fateful day, "My Lord and my God." Because the invitation has been given. He's standing right before us, and we're ready to hopefully respond. So my question to you today is this: where do you sit? Where do you sit in that room? Where do you sit 1 week later? Let us pray. Father, thank you for such a model of faith that is found in Thomas. Oftentimes seen as the butt of many jokes, but seen as a person who was seeking to understand. And when he experiences you, that firsthand experience, he proclaims not only you as Lord, but as his God. Father, what a profound testimony that is, and what a profound testimony that we can speak today, knowing that you are our risen Lord. You are the one who came back from the dead. You are the one who has changed our lives, just like you changed Thomas and all those disciples and all those who embrace you as Lord and God. Father, today, if we haven't made that profession, may it be made today. If we're seeking a church family who seeks to do that, may we join this church today. May, if we're seeking to change our lives, have been walking away, may we do that today. Father, you've created this invitation in this moment 1 week later. May we answer today. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. The invitation has been extended. It hasn't been extended by me. It's been extended by Jesus Christ 1 week later. And that invitation continues to be extended to you today. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. as we go out into this world, we carry the resurrection with us. We carry that message, that love, that excitement, that confidence that Thomas left with that day. We can carry that same message with us as we go. Go make a difference in this world. Go in peace.